Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. All right. I think I did a little better, although I think volume might have been all the way down when I first started. Good evening, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon, depending on what part of the world you have tuned in to tonight's show. I'm your co-host, Bill Green, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Will Green, that's my oldest son, is my wingman, pilot, and executive producer of the show, and I always like bringing him in to give some, especially to give some of the particulars about the shows that we do. And I think I see him there on in the studio. So what's up, Wilfredo?
Hola.
What do you know?
Hola,
what do you say?
Hola.
Yeah, my man. All right. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, you know.
Too early to tell, huh?
Yeah, you know, just leave it at that, man. You know. Listen, I just got a kick out of the intro that came in, and I'm opening up Facebook while, you know, we're gearing up here, and the first thing I see on Facebook is you on the heavy bag. So, I just wanted to share this with you, man. So we got the music involved in the way, and you on the heavy bag. I'm like, look at this Lion King moment, man. It's kind of cool. Man. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's very inspirational.
Yeah. Me and that heavy bag are getting to be really close friends, you know. That's my most effective relationship today. I mean, with you know, the external. Yeah, all right. So right quick, before we jump into tonight, because I do have quite a bit I want to try and cover, as always. How about if you just kind of take us through the crash course of the greenhouse effect? If you don't mind.
Sure. Absolutely. Again, bienvenidos, que tal, welcome everybody, namaste, etc. I like how Dad jumped in and told you, you know, good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending on what part of the world you're listening in. Welcome to the Greenhouse Effect as we present Dad's music of breathwork, part two here. Last week. So here on the Greenhouse Effect on Law Talk Radio, we just like to relay a few things to you all, the listeners out there, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to the show recorded or saved. A few things we just want to let you know. The first thing is to grab a pencil and paper, pen and pad, post-it note, a marker, I don't know, whatever you got. Dad's favorite is an envelope. we want to make sure you got something to write with. The one thing that we enjoy about doing our shows is that we think we have something to give back to you all, to the listeners. And we hope that you find something to document, to write down, and to take note. So things like this and meditation, it's good to have some pencil and paper, something to write down. So grab something if you don't have it already. That's number one. Excuse me. The second thing is, unlike other podcasts, other radio shows of recent, we still like old school talk shows. We still we want to hear from you all. And we want to engage with you all, the listeners here. There's a couple ways that we do it. Since you got a pen and pad right now, we hope that you write down our numbers here if you don't already have the number to dial in. Our number here, you can call in directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And if you want to jump in or ask that any questions or any comments or anything like that, what you do is press 1 on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue, and that will one of us will bring you in as soon as we can, if possible. But another way that you can engage with us as well is through our chat room, which is on the Blog Talk Radio site if you're listening online. The way that you can engage the chat room is with your free Blog Talk Radio account. Maybe you're sitting there like, well, I don't have a free Blog Talk Radio account. Well, it's pretty simple. Just go through the steps on the Blog Talk Radio site, set up an account. It will ask you for a credit card, but you will not be charged. Just choose the free profile, the free account, and you can access the chat room at the bottom of our at the bottom of the page for today's episode. Or there is always the old Facebook, and I see that Dad. man, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. And I see that Dad did set up a event page on Facebook. So if you did not receive an invitation through Facebook or something like that, please reach out to Dad and let him know. We'll make sure to get you those invites as well. But you can engage with us on the Facebook event page as well. I'm going to open that up in just a second in case you all wondering, well, I can't access it, but I'm going to fix that in just a minute. So the point is that we want to make, we want to make sure, we just want to make sure that, again, that we offer some engagement back and forth here, here on Blog Talk Radio. That's why we continue to use this particular media. So, you know, we hope to hear from you all, and I don't know, that's all I got. I can't think of anything else.
That's good. That's fine. You don't need to. Yeah, that's perfect. No, that's perfect. Thank you, man. As always, that is so well done. You know, that's why I really prefer that you do it, because I stumble through and with the all the eras and us and where am I going with this? You know, you go right to the core of it. So that's beautiful, man. Thank you so much. I see. I don't know if Adam's in the chat room or not. I see his name's on the switchboard, but I did some. This has happened to me a couple times now when I come out of the chat room and I try to go back in, it says I'm disconnected. So I can't access it. I can see it, but I can't put anything in, and I doubt if I can read anything. So, here he is. I can see. Okay, I just can't type in, but there's Adam, my man. All right. So
you
I can.
You
know,
can't type in. That's weird.
No, I can't. Maybe. Yeah, I know. It happened last week as well. Well, I'm not going to worry about it right now, but I'll leave that up to you to fix. So anyway, getting right into tonight's show, you know, it's always a difficult thing for me in doing any kind of, you know, talk show, podcast, whatever we call it, theme, without letting current events get in the way. I don't care what the topic is, even though for the last, well now, you know, wow, 5 weeks, I've been talking about meditation, music, you know, vibrations of the body, frequencies of music, chakra systems, you know, did I say meditation? You know, even though it seems so removed from the idea of current events, I'm still a prisoner of current events, meaning I cannot pretend that I live outside of the world I inhabit. My challenge is not being so overwhelmed by the world I inhabit that I lose my sense of centering. And I don't know about the rest of you, Will. I don't know about you, Adam. I don't know about you or anybody else who might be listening. But I can get off center in a heartbeat. But it takes a lot longer before I realize it. That is the bane of my existence, so to say. However, that does not mean that I'm not aware. That does not mean that I have failed. That does not mean that I don't know what I'm doing. It means that I'm aware. And that's the difference. And that's something that I think many of us tend not to do, is give ourselves credit for awareness. In spite of the difficulties we encounter as we try to navigate through life, whatever those difficulties might be labeled or what they might be called or what fingers may be pointed, being aware is the key. But what do we do with that awareness? Well, to me, that's the point of being centered. So I just came across a few things. Oh, and I, you know, so let me just do this right quick. It's more or less a recap. And if y'all hear a lot of pages shuffling, I apologize, but that's the price I pay for being off center. So anyway, just a quick recap. Last week we talked about, a continuation of this week, which had so much to do with the history, more than anything else, of the music regarding breathwork, you know. And the history of the music really follows the what did I call it, the C major scale. Yeah, C major scale that operates with different keynotes of the seven chakras. Like for the first chakra, the note is C. You know, the second chakra, the note is D. The third is E. The fourth is F. The fifth is G. The sixth is A. And the seventh is B. So that's pretty much the pattern of the scale of music that's used to, I guess you could say, ignite the bond between, or the bandwidth between the frequency of sound and the vibration of the body, moving energy through the body that ignites the various chakra systems. Now, I'm one who believes that the second chakra, and that's what I think is the most powerful of all three, because it contains so much sexual energy. So now understand that's the foundation of life. You know, so that's how powerful this second chakra is. And I believe through it, all the others are lit up, you know, because of that energy of that creative energy, that emotional energy, and that sexual energy are always acting one on the other. Not one is not trying to dominate the other. All three are trying to balance themselves. And I believe that they balance themselves through the other six. So it's a matter of understanding in my mind where my creative energy, where my emotional energy, where my sexual energy is taking me through life. And in my body, I have these storehouses that get activated when I do something in meditation that allows my body to reveal to me what's going on. You know, sometimes issues of my heart are not issues, you know, what dealing with a relationship that I'm like a prisoner of my own heartstrings, you know, but it may not be felt there. I may assume that the issues of the heart are felt there, but they might be showing up in my gut, you know. And how would I know that? Oh, well, the individual that I have this love relationship with, and I get into these situations, and when the situations are not pleasant, the first place I feel it is not in my heart. It's in my gut. You know, it's that place, that storage facility where I keep so much stress anyway. So when I'm stressed out, I don't feel it in my heart. Yeah, I know. You know, people say stress can cause a heart attack. Yeah, but the stress itself needs to be dealt with in, you know, the in more of the third chakra, you know, or even the first, you know, than the fourth. But that's just a matter of coming to understand how the chakras work in my body. Now, you all may feel that, or some of you may feel that, well, you don't have chakras in your body. Okay, that's fine. You know, you don't have to. You may, you know, not think you have energy fields in your body. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to. But I just have one question. How come you don't feel everything in the same place? You know, why is it that our feelings are scattered all over our bodies, right? I mean, like sometimes a person isn't a pain in the heart. Sometimes a person's a pain in the ass. I got to kind of get my heart out of the way. As a matter of fact, all too often, that emotional field that I assume is where my true emotions reside in my heart, you know, it's such a devious thing. It's so tricky because most of us are prisoners of our emotions, and most of us, our emotions trigger our thoughts. So I just want to share with you one thing that meditation will reveal off and on. You know, it comes and it goes, it ebbs and it flows. Is that, yeah, we have feelings or emotions, but we're not our emotions. We have thoughts, but we are not our thoughts. That's the great struggle that most of us encounter as we go through life, trying to understand that our thoughts and our feelings are disguises of what we're really seeking to feel, seeking to be aware of, maybe is a better way to put it, you know, seeking to find some inner peace that we don't even know we're looking for. So where does that come from? It comes from the astral plane. It's the emotional life of the human body. You know, it feels emotion as reality. You know, free thought almost always never happen, y'all. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but free thoughts almost always never happen. Illusion and glamour facilitate much of what we are attracted to. So we deal with the physical, the emotional, and the mental states, and the illusion that comes with the three. And our emotional body reflects how we see reality, and it ain't at any given moment in time. I mean, so fine, Bill. So what now? Well, just stop. Just stop. Just for a second. But I'll come back to that in a second. I want to be sure to touch on again the chakra system as it relates to music. Dealing with the first, which is the colors red. And by now, this should sound familiar to those of you who've been tuning in. And that first chakra is chaotic. You know, so, you know, the type of music that brings that first chakra to life is evocative, quaking, primitive music. You know, the second chakra is orange, and it's the passionate. It's the passion of those three that I just talked about, the creative self, the emotional self, and the sexual self. And I know that we all are familiar enough with our sexuality, and sexuality encompasses all three. It's not just about sex. We always confuse sexuality with sex. No, our sexuality, our creative, emotional, and sexual selves has few little parts to it. First is how I see the world through those three lenses, how I assume the world sees me, and how the world assumes I see it. And then there's that other one that neither really knows what's going on. And that other one is the one where we attach so much energy to. So the second chakra, being passionate, the music that tends to stir it up is rhythmic, sensual music that promotes breathing. The third chakra color is yellow, and it's the hero's journey. That's that journey music that so many soundtracks of the heroes of the silver screen use, like, you know, Black Panther or the what are some of the other ones, Will? You know, you're more of, you know, the Avengers, Superman, Batman. Oh, Batman, you know, that's some deep music there. You know, that's that, and, you know, other soundtracks to other movies, maybe like Legend of the Fall. I don't know if any of you saw that, or I'm dating myself. There's a remake of The Magnificent Seven, you know, done by James Horner, which was his last piece of music. He died shortly after he delivered the soundtrack to the studios for the movie in a plane crash, you know, flying himself back home, you know. And so I cherish, Braveheart was a James Horner specialty. Hans Zimmer, you know, is well known for the soundtracks that he's done. And this is kind of the journey music, you know. It's adrenal, it's throbbing, it's theme developing, you know. Sometimes it can even include chanting. It's meant to cleanse out the lower chakras, the lower two. You know, that's the whole point of it. It's just meant to, like, okay, we're moving now into the, this is the last stronghold of the ego self, the third chakra. It's the will to know. You know, so now it's bringing the elements of chaos and passion to the forefront, but only in a sense of intellectual enlightenment. And a lot of people get stuck right at this spot. Intellectual enlightenment feels like enlightenment, but it's intellectually influenced. So we tend to hide behind our initials, you know, and don't get me wrong. Yeah, the initials may be earned and they may not be earned through the schools of education, you know, like PhDs or what, you know, all those initials of spaghettis that come before and after that. But we can also have, you know, degrees in life, you know, life experience degrees that have allowed us to access certain avenues, presentation that gives the world the impression that we have arrived. I've had teachers, mentors, and educators like that, you know, that I only know them through what they present from the stage, but I don't know them and how they deal with their everyday lives. And I know Black folk tend to give that away to a lot of preachers, you know, and a lot of preachers know that, you know, and it's a bond, but it's more on the intellectual level, you know, and we want to take that knowledge from an intellectual level and give ourselves the impression that we have, in fact, uncovered the keys to God through what we hear booming down from the pulpit, you know, and it is that wonderful experience of togetherness in almost all church services, mosques or temples, you know, where for a couple hours, everybody is in the same venue and really in many ways on the same frequency. So even though we may be hearing things and feeling things differently, it's still no different than a radio broadcast. You know, we're feeling the broadcast from the same perspective of where it's coming to us. So that third level, you know, that will to know is a very demanding aspect of the self. And as we move out of that third chakra, we move into the first level of transformation, which is the fourth chakra, which is the heart chakra. And that's the place of surrender. You know, and a lot of people who attend breathwork sessions fall in love with heart music and want to just stay there. As a matter of fact, just as many people come to the meditation to arrive to that fourth chakra experience. So, you know, where tears or emotional knots can be released but it gives an impression of release where really what it's doing is laminating almost, you know, an aspect of prison, you know, internal prison. Yeah. Well, we feel so much, we fall in love with our feelings. So we decide that our feelings have been cleansed and now we're ready to procreate, you know, be plentiful and multiply. Now we're ready for relationship only to, you know, return to the same place in ourselves that started the confusion in the first place. So the heart being a place of surrender is in itself not the panacea. It's the junction box that merges the lower three chakras with the upper three chakras. And remember, in the lower three is where conflict is born. In the upper three is where harmony is born. So we seek a place of harmony through conflict that happens in the heart, but it can't happen without an element of surrender. And that heart is not the mechanical heart, although the mechanical heart is greatly affected by the struggle. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of people, Les Brown, the motivational speaker, talked about this, that most people have their first heart attack on Monday mornings, going to jobs they cannot stand, you know, and those jobs are just killing them, you know, but can't surrender to it, you know, because of what the job provides. So it's the struggle of doing what I think is responsible, even though it's killing me, because I don't know how to walk away from it, even though that would free me. And that's the struggle right there. That's where emotions and thoughts get in the way of a purity of motives, you know, and most of us don't purify our motives in our everyday life. We stay victim, prisoners to our everyday affairs, our thoughts and feelings that we misconceive as being our reality. Yeah, well, so how do we break that chain? Well, as we move out of the fourth, you know, chakra, we move into the first level of transformation, which is this, or it's the forgiving nature. You know, and the forgiving nature also comes with an understanding of what that throat chakra is all about. That's where we begin to speak our truth. Not our truth as compared to our lie, you know, because even though we always know when we're lying, because we always know our truth. Isn't that a killer? It don't matter what I say to y'all. It don't matter what I say to Will. It don't matter what I say to his mama. You know, I know where my truth resides. And I know if those words that come out of my mouth resonate with that or not. And it don't matter how I try to disguise it. Inside of me, I go to bed at night thinking, damn, I lied again. Well, maybe none of y'all go through that. Maybe I'm projecting on you. I'm just saying, I do, all right? So moving into that that fifth forgiving, open throat, truth expression chakra, its color coordinated is light blue. Now, at the fifth stage, we hear orchestrated, songy kind of music that's serene and calming, sometimes calming. It doesn't always come across that way if your throat is beginning to open, but that's the place where rediscovery of inner truth is once again claimed. Not discovered, because we always know it, but it's where it's claimed. You know, and sometimes we feel the throat chakra begin to open when we're like, you know, having to clear our throat, you know, having to maybe even spit up some phlegm, feeling, you know, congestion or almost like blockage, you know, and like sometimes we're even having an opening of the third of the throat chakra when we think we're having an episode related to having taken Metamucil. What's that other stuff that people take to clear out, you know, the throat? I can't remember this. With them little ugly creatures in the TV commercial running to the throat and they cough it up and whatever. You know, sometimes we think physical phlegm is not related to clearing the throat. And I think almost always, in fact, that's exactly what's going on. You know, it's just got, huh? What did you say?
Adam.
Yeah.
Said,
okay. There you go. Oh, Adam did. All right. Oh, yeah. I'm back in the studio. Yeah, Mucinex. You know, so a lot of times we don't understand what's going on, or we don't want, or sometimes we do want to know what's going on. Sometimes we do want to understand, but sometimes what's going on externally, what we've been surrounded by, suggests to us that we don't have a clue about our bodies. So experts, total strangers, are always telling us what's wrong. If you notice something on cable TV, you know, it maps, you know, I think it does, the generations that tune in, like in the morning, as, you know, older folks, retired, whatever. So that's almost all the commercials are bombarded with, you know, stuff that tells you you're dying. And you got to take this. But even if you take it, its side effects may cause death. How does a person contact their physician if they're dead? You know, I never understood that side effect. But, you know, there's a lot of sick commercials early in the day. And then they begin to soften a little bit as we move later into the afternoon. And we go through a lot of physical exercise commercials, you know, still having the sick ones in because, you know, pharmaceutical industry got to, you know, pay their bills, you know. So everything, you know, and America, the United States in particular, you know, and maybe Canada too, and, well, you know, maybe North America in general. You know, we're a chemophilic society, meaning we love our drugs. You know, we love the idea of taking something outside of the bodies that's going to give us a desired effect inside of our bodies and failing to realize that there's nothing that we can take that doesn't mimic what our brains already produce. So all we're doing is taking drugs to help aggravate the wiring. You know, either we want more of a particular feeling or less of it, you know, because our brains are taking too long. So let's get them drugs going. You know, I'm legal, illegal, it don't matter. Let's get them drugs going because that's the desired effect I seek. You know, the one that my brain produces, but it's taking too long to give me. Meditation, though, you know, proves that to be a fallacy. But anyway, So we move into the sixth chakra, which is the third eye. We spend a lot of time talking about that, actually through all four of our get-togethers here. And its corresponding color is indigo. It's that kind of blue you can't capture. You know, it's a rich kind of flat. It's just such a sexy blue. I don't know another way to put it. You know, it's kind of indigo, kind of dark blue, kind of navy. But there's just one other element to it that I've never been able to capture, but I'll see, you know, in my dream state. And the music that corresponds is haunting kind of music. You know, so we have surrendering, forgiving, and haunting. This is the fourth, fifth, and sixth chakras. And again, this is where we seek this harmonious aspects of ourselves, which would be also called, you know, the love states. You know, so we have a love of truth, and then we come to this sixth chakra, which is a love of life. Now, so the haunting music that corresponds with the idea of the love of life, you know, is thorough music. It's echoey. It's nature sounds a lot. Fluty, you know, piano, but not tinny piano. You know, that soft, soothing, soft touch piano. You know, I think y'all know what I'm talking about, you know. And the idea of, again, it's the love of life. You know, now, not life as we live it, you know, dealing with the fear of death, but purpose is rediscovered at the love of life. You know, when I can reclaim what I was sent here to do, or at least ask myself the question, am I doing what I was sent here to do, or even going further, asking myself, do I know what I was sent here to do? You know, and sometimes, you know, again, separating ourselves from our thoughts and feelings is where purpose is so often rediscovered. And the seventh, you know, which is it's the love of self, capital S, big self, God self, creator self, you know, whatever that aspect of you that is bigger than you. You know, it's what I'm talking about, where you go to find the answers to the questions that you don't even know how to ask. You know, that color is a white, violet, bright yellow sometimes even. Some people have even said, you know, a pinkish kind of white. You know, and again, that's the stage of completion. That's when we arrive to the seventh or crown chakra. And its music corresponds with white noise, sheer high notes, and sometimes watery and holy music, you know, chant, that high pitch, you know, hallelujah kind of, you know, all soprano sounds, you know, at that particular stage. And the idea is to have had a trajectory of music that complements the vibrations of the body. So the frequencies, this is how they work through this trajectory of a journey. It's not just a random process. A lot of people, you know, put together, maybe I shouldn't say a lot, some people, occasionally a person will put together random pieces of music that just sounds good to them. And that's fine, you know, because the body's going to do what the body's going to do with frequency and vibration anyway. But the idea of a breathwork trajectory is to complement each stage through the chakras that are being activated by vibration and frequency working together in this beautiful dance. So I named a few of the artists last week. I'm not going to get into that again. That's something that if there's something you really want to know, you know, just hit me up and I'll be more than happy to give you my idea of what I think, you know, really works well. Will, questions, thoughts, comments, complaints? I know I'm going kind of fast.
Oh, I mean, I can't help but think about some of our previous discussions where we talked about, for example, intention. And I think breath work, and in case people are still wondering or just trying to put the pieces together still, you know, and I say that because breath work to me is intentional. All right. So, you know, a lot of times when you talked about composers and things like that, we go to these movies and sometimes we could be fortunate to go on these slight journeys for maybe an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours,
right,
based on the soundtrack, right? And, you know, and a lot of people, I hope that this is kind of helping a little bit, you know, whatever movie, you know, you all have attended, you know, think about the emotion that came from that particular movie. And a lot of times that's the same thing. But, again, that's just to compliment the movie. It's not really to compliment you. So now you have breathwork, which is intentional to compliment you and your emotions and your chakra, your energy, your emotions, your journey, whatever it is that you might be, you know, going through. But it gives you that time to really intentionally look within yourself, if you will, to me. And I just wanted to share that a little bit here. So I really didn't have anything, you know, any questions or anything, but I just wanted to share that just from my own personal experience of
yeah.
going through breathwork,
yeah.
you know.
What?
You know, and
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just really happy that you, you know, had taken the time to talk about these things because, you know, I know, like, back in the day when you were still, you know, doing breathwork, facilitating music, and the intention that you put towards providing the music, providing this compliment to the chakra energy for people to go on these journeys for them, you know, not for anything else. You know, I just think it really says a lot about, you know, your intention and what the music is. I mean, and even if you're still not getting it, ladies and gentlemen, think about, again, just the music we're listening to nowadays. You know, I mean, like, you know, there are times you turn on the radio and suddenly, you know, you're like, if you're driving and suddenly you're like, you know, I'm like hitting the gas, man. Like, I gotta get there, right? You know, I gotta do speed racing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times
yeah,
it's that music.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. that
yeah.
vibration that's coming through the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we're not even aware of it anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, not everything is a question. Some things are just what you just did, you know. Comments are very important. Yeah. So, you know, that's the whole point of this. You know, questions, starts, comments, complaints. That's the four tiers. So, you know, it's not, you don't have to have a question. You know, the comment is of incredible value. So, you know, anything else you want to add?
No, I just hope that kind of maybe, you know, help. You know, I just wanted to maybe just kind of help, you know, the people that are listening just to, again, kind of put some of the pieces together exactly on how, you know, really breathwork isn't really any different from what we're doing today. But like I said, it's just more intentional. And,
well,
of course, it depends
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. It depends on what?
It depends on the individual.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's always a very important aspect of it as well, to remember to include the individual. You know, but breathwork, again, I said it last week, I'll say it again, everyone. Breathwork is in itself, you know, not the fixer. It's a complement
mm-hmm.
to whatever
mm-hmm.
it is that we are setting out to do, to have a clearer perspective of what it is that we desire. What I love about breathwork, you know, is that it's very pliable. It's flexible. It can be bent and shaped to fit into anything we're doing to improve our own sense of consciousness, of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, it's used with it's contentless music. Now, what do I mean by contentless music? Well, it's not, you know, the kind of music that we would turn in and listen to on the radio for the most part. You know, back in my day, FM was not, you know, a recognized medium of radio. So in FM, you would find a lot of symphony music. You know, FM now, of course, is the dominant species of radio. But that symphony, that symphonic kind of aspect of breathwork music is the music I'm speaking to, you know, and the different aspects of it. But contentless means it's without words, at least for this part of the world, English words. So, you know, the question may be, even then, you know, there are certain musics that still don't jive, you know, with complementary aspects of vibration and frequency. Rocky, you know, the theme of Rocky, although, you know, people whistle it, feel it, know it. The theme from Godfather, you know, as soon as you hear that, you know, that opening, you know, that opening strand, you know, right away, oh, stop right in your tracks, Godfather. As soon as I hear, you know, the Marlboro Man and Magnificent Seven, oh, gotta stop, gotta check, you know, but this doesn't necessarily, you know, constitute a quality of breathwork music. But it does what you just said. It does activate something within us, and it stirs up something inside of us, right? Well, and that's what you're saying, you know, that, and it's a matter, and right away we know what's being stirred up, you know. Sometimes, you know, you ever watch a horror movie and turn off the volume? You know, without that scary kind of music, there's nothing that builds up to the ha.
Yeah, there's nothing there, right?
You know, you just watching it without the music, like, what's the big deal? You know, but as soon as you put that music in there, it's like, oh shucks, I almost slipped up. You know, and it's the same thing, you know, like with the thrill movies, you know, that build up, that intensity, and then those movies that have, you know, that desire to really pull you in. Especially near the end, and they just go off the page, you know, with this stuff that just almost lifts you up out of the seat, just stretches you out. So, yeah, the comments you're making, you know, are absolutely the comments that we make. I speak from a place of having done this for over 30 years. My struggle is not to speak from that place of over 30 years, but try to bring it to a place of easy digestibility for someone who's never really explored this stuff before. And it's easy to tell those who haven't explored it. They're almost always the ones to tune in or call or whatever, you know. But, you know, I mean, the ones who I know in this work, you know, it's like, man, you know, why are you sending me this invitation? I already know all that. Well, the one thing I learned about the time I've been in this arena, you know, I don't already know all that. As a matter of fact, usually when I start talking, inside of me, I'm realizing, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you kind of, you know, you go stretching beyond the boundaries. Okay, I need to keep moving because I do want to take these next 10, 12 minutes to cover some things just quick, you know, just right quick. First of all, I started out by saying something that I want to cover up. Look, the world of today is extremely violent. I think we'll agree with that, especially this part of the world that we inhabit. And there is more than enough fear to go around. I know one thing about fear. I know one thing about fear that affects most of us. It must either be distracted or avoided at all costs. You know, and our fears come in many different levels, right, Will? On many different planes. It's not just the singular fear of violence, you know, of being, you know, victimized, you know, through some type of perpetration. You know, there's also the emotional fear. There's also the relational fear. You know, there's also the security fear. There's all the fears that reside in the first chakra, you know, the fight or flight, you know, food, shelter, clothing, and a sense of belonging. Those are all first chakra issues, you know, and this is what gives gangs so much power because they meet those needs. But, you know, the thing is, you can only evolve past each level of consciousness after you have come to balance the previous one. So if I'm externalizing what it is that I think is giving me a sense of safety, if I'm externalizing it by saying belonging to this gang is giving it to me, I'm still not addressing my elements of fear. So knowing that we avoid these fears at all costs, so what are some of the things we do to avoid our internal fears? Well, we totally immerse ourselves in external pursuit, as if taking on the struggle will earn some kind of point for valor. You know, so we become defined by our struggles. You know, we become immersed in, you know, talking about feeling. Sometimes we don't even talk about it. We just feel these struggles as if this means I'm really worthy of being here, you know, because I'm really doing the battle. Okay, you know. But just stop. You know, I'm serious. Just stop. Breathe just for a moment. Just breathe. Don't close your eyes tightly shut. That's a mistake a lot of people make in this kind of meditative state I'm talking about right now. You know, just let a little light in, but let your head angle downward and cast your view through those little slits downward as well. and just breathe. Now, there's a point you were making, Will, and it's a three-tier point, a point to this, a three-tier approach. There you go. You know, intention is not expectation, and it's not agenda setting. The idea is to free myself from expectation and to free myself from writing out an agenda when I seek to meditate and just have nothing but intention. Without intention, I have no reason or purpose behind what my ego can latch onto as to me thinking this is what I'm trying to deal with. So my intention might be to hear what the Lord is trying to tell me through my prayer. You know, so now if that's my intention, then I need to be open to what the Lord's going to tell me. You know, not, oh, there must be somebody else up there. No, it's like if that's my intention, then I have to accept what I get. You know, and again, you know, that's a hard task because the ego has to die to intention because what you're doing, what I'm doing, what we're doing when we set an intention, we're surrendering to the struggle. And the ego is designed to help us through the struggle. Now, our behaviors are only as healthy as our ego. So if you have a sick ego, you're going to do sick shit. Excuse me. You know, if you have a healthy ego, you're going to do healthy stuff. But because we have this realm of free thought, a lot of times we vacillate, knowing, because we know our own truth, knowing that this is something that I already know is not what I am setting out to do, but somewhere inside of me, I've convinced myself that doing the same thing again is going to be a corrective experience. You know, and I mean, this applies, y'all, to all aspects of what we take on in life. You know, like an old relationship is old because it served its purpose and it's on its way out. Why are you going to resuscitate it? And I'm speaking from me, all right? I mean, on page 109 of Dysfunctional by Design, I wrote, old behaviors die hard and never without a struggle. Amen. So I didn't write it because I heard somebody else say it. I wrote it because I know that to be my gospel truth. You know, my old behaviors die hard and never without a struggle. What's the struggle? Surrender. So the first thing we have to surrender to is letting go of distraction. How do we do that? Well, sitting. And this practice can be stated very simply. It is moving from a life of hurting myself and others to a life of not hurting myself and others. You know, so the sitting practice is very simple. Sitting is essential as it's essentially, you know, and just a simplified space, just a space I can carve out, a space in my own realm of existence. Like I pretty much operate in my bedroom, you know, in a house that, you know, I live in with, I almost said other species, other relatives, you know. And, you know, my bedroom is my domain. And in this bedroom, I have plenty of room to be able to sit. And when I sit in my recliner, it can become, if I choose, my whole world, or it can become, if I choose, my cave, or it can become, if I choose, my prison. But the first thing to do is just simply sit. When we simplify the situation, when we take away the externals and remove ourselves from the ringing phone, the television, the people who visit us, most of the time uninvited, you know, I think you're getting the idea. The dog who needs to walk or just barks because a tree leaf fell to the ground, you know. We get a chance, which is absolutely the most valuable thing there is, to face ourselves. Hence is why herein lies the rub, why most of us at all costs absolutely avoid sitting still, because we know if we sit still, there's nobody to look at, to face, to deal with, to feel than ourselves. We take that quiet moment that we avoid at all costs, and we have to find the time to just sit still and just feel what our self is trying to tell us. And it's, you know, I read something once that said one of the greatest downfalls of man is his inability or refusal to sit quietly in a room by himself. You know, it's like we got to have something else going on to validate that we're here. And the idea of just being alone with the self. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, an imposed solitude, like going into the hole in prison. You know, prison has its own energy, right? But I'm talking about understanding that in my own inner prison is a place where I can dwell and get in touch with my feelings. So the idea, once again, is understanding that this sitting practice has in itself, you know, I'm just going to go through, you know, it, for the next couple of minutes, you know, what its intention is, you know, what it's not, rather, not what it is. Because what it is, I've already said, is simply sitting still. But what it's not, you know, it's not about producing psychological change. That's number one. You know, change will be produced. In fact, it's wonderful, you know, practice. It's not done in order to produce such change. You know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, it's not about producing psychological change. It's not about knowing the physical nature of reality, what the universe consists of or how it works. It's not about achieving some blissful state. It's not about having vision. It's not about seeing white lights or pink ones or blue ones. All these things may occur, and if we sit long enough, they probably will. But that is not what practice or what this intention or what this meditation is. It's what you said earlier, Will. It's the intention. We set the intention so we're not a victim of our own pursuit. When I set the intention, that becomes my responsibility to tune into. So it's not about having or cultivating special powers. I love that. You know, it's not about personal power. You know, it's not about having nice feelings or happy feelings. It's not about some bodily state in which we are never ill, never hurt, one in which we have no bothersome ailments. It's not about achieving an omnipotent state in which a person knows about everything, a state in which a person is an authority on any or all worldly problems. And it's not about highlighting all sorts of good qualities and getting rid of so-called bad ones. You know, this is what meditation isn't about. You know, it's about sitting still long enough to feel ourselves. And if that can be achieved through doing something like breath work with an assist from music, and that's the irony of it. The music, and it's played loudly, you would think is a distraction. But when we go into a meditative state, when we assume the responsibility of tuning into our natural selves, the music, regardless of how loud it is, becomes the backdrop. It becomes our own soundtrack. It's taking us through our own inner journey, our own, you know, if I can, our own inner movie. So there's things that happen along the way. And the things that happen along the way, of course, is where we need sometimes, most of the time, if not all the time, where we need guides, where we need mentors, where we need those who can help us understand, not tell us, but help us understand what it is we're going through, what it is we're dealing with. And this has stages to it. Now, don't confuse this. It's not just a one-stage event. You know, the first stage most of us have already dealt with, and that's the willingness to take on life. Okay, so now what? Well, we got about two or three other stages we got to go through, you know, and they're reflective of where we are with our own inner journeys by how we're dealing with our own inner strife. Yeah, and it's important to have the language that goes with it. See, black folk in America have been stuck in a no-exit constellation of multiple complexes because we haven't been allowed to explore the realm of our own understanding. We have to deal with everybody else's understanding of who we are, and we have to fit the mold of that diagnosis in order to get the panacea of treatment, you know, that somehow makes it clear that we're now well. You know, well, I went into, you know, 42 years ago, yeah, closing in on my 42nd year, I went into, 42nd, yeah, I went into treatment for alcoholism, And I discovered some wonderful things about, you know, a recovery from alcoholism. But I also found some blocks. One of the blocks I found when I was talking about my struggles with identity was people who were quick to tell me, don't be concerned about that identity business. Be a grateful recovering alcoholic. That's all you need. And that's fine, and I am. But that started in my 42nd year, 41st year, I don't know, one of those two, 1981, 42nd year. You know, so what does that mean? I'm born 47. That was my 34th year. So do I throw out the baby, the bathwater, and the tub, you know, from the moment I went into treatment? No, because there's some qualities about myself that I love and doggone it, other people love about me too. So I don't throw everything away. I hold on to those things that are the gold, the alchemy of worthiness, you know, and throw out the others. But if I don't have, you know, adequate support, then I'm not going to understand, you know, the things that need to be let go of. I'll confuse, you know, the attraction of, again, you know, emotions, you know, and intellect. And I'll assume that, you know, that my thoughts and my feelings is who I am. Not understanding, no, they're mirroring my confusion about who I am. So am I supposed to then live a life free of thoughts and feelings? No. You know, that's the human endeavor. But don't let it become my spiritual quest. That's, you know, that's what happens so often, especially at third level consciousness or the will to know. So it's about that time to wrap it up. I know there's probably a whole lot of stuff that has been thrown out there. I'll recap it next week. But in the meantime, if there's things you want to know a little bit more about, now I do have planned a breath work here in, well, it'll actually be in Addison, Texas. So if you're in North Texas or if you have, you know, if you're intending on being in this area around July 17th, I just want you to let me know and I'll be sure to send you an invitation. And for that matter, if you're in the area, you know, and you're not expecting to go to a funeral on that day, you know, or you know, whatever the, you know, the perceived excuse may be, you know, then you hit me up, let me know, and I'll definitely send you more information. But just kind of keep that day in the back of, you know, your conscious mind, July 17th or 15th, whatever that Saturday is. There'll be a one-day event, and it will cover a lot of what I'm talking about right now tonight. So I want to thank you all. Will, my man, closing thoughts, comments? You got about 30 seconds.
Well, I'll just say this. So the quote that came to my head while you were talking is that we may not be done with the relationship, but the relationship may be done with us. That's all I
Amen.
Got.
Yeah, that's a heck of a thing to leave us with. Now let me go home and reevaluate my relationship. Yeah, man, beautiful, man. Right on time. Adam, thanks so much for tuning in. You know, I know usually you have thoughts, questions, thoughts, comments. And I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to you, you know, to open up the mic for you. Hopefully, man, it's good seeing you back out there. I missed you last week. Hopefully you tune in next week and drop some pearls of wisdom on us. Anybody else who tuned in tonight, you know, think about, reflect on, and weigh much of what's been said. And, again, if there's some things you'd like to know more about, you know, please hit me up, greenbg52@aol.com. That's love you back, Adam. That's my email address, greenbg, that's a Bill Green, 52@aol.com. I'm also on Facebook, Bill Green. Bill Green in Frisco. There's a lot of Bill Greens out there. Sometimes I'm sending some stuff to myself and I'm not paying attention, and I send it to another Bill Green, and I get a note back from them. They say, man, who is this? And I say, it's Bill Green. Then we start this whole laughter. So I'm on Facebook, Bill Green, located in Frisco, Texas. And my phone number, 469-245-1844. And don't worry about calling me, you know, because if I don't recognize the number, I won't, because it won't be a name. So leave me a message and let me know who you were. Because I don't answer, you know, phone numbers. I only answer names. But if you leave me a message and let me know who you are, then I'll program you so I'll see you the next time you call. But I'll call you back as well. I won't just leave you hanging. Or what we say in this in this field of endeavor. I'm going to leave you hanging in the dangle. I love that. All right, Will, thank you so much again, man, for backing me up here. My EP, and I'm sure after we're done, you give me some constructive criticism, and I always embrace it and I welcome it. So everyone, love you all, and have a blessed evening tonight, unless you have other plans. Take care, everybody.
Right on.
Can you hear the prayer of the children abandoning in the shadow of an unknown room? Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning toward the light. Cry, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul take. Can you feel the hearts of the children aching for home, for something of their very own? Reaching hands with nothing to hold on to, but hope for a better day, a better day. Crying, Jesus, help me feel the love again in my own land. But if unknown roads lead away from home, give me loving arms away from home.
The prayer of a child.